That was good. Matthew chapter 25 this morning. Matthew chapter number 25. I'm thankful to be here. Thankful to have everybody back here again. Feel like we're whole again, finally. Some have asked about us traveling. We have that trip planned end of this month. I think it's the 23rd, I think it is. We fly out and let the family meet the new one. So we'll do that the 23rd. I talked to the brother Fisher, Jonathan Fisher, yesterday, Friday. And he's real excited about coming. He's got his plane ticket and everything already ready to come down. So he's looking forward to it. I think you'll enjoy him being here. He's a good man. Different than me. Not from North Carolina. Different than me. That's okay, though. I think you'll enjoy him. Biblically, he's the same. So I think it'd be a good thing. Probably like him more than me. You want to keep him instead of me. Anyway, Matthew 25. If we'll go ahead and turn there. Verse number 1. Go ahead and stand, if you would, once you find your place. Everybody woke up, see people yawning back there, wake you up. So the verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. You can be seated. Appreciate it, Brother Bud. I called him. He just got flown back in, finally home. And he don't mention anything about himself. He asked him how he's feeling. He's like, oh, I'm blessed to be here, glad to be alive. Never heard any bad words out of Brother Bud, and I appreciate that. Appreciate him. Appreciate his spirit. And his faithfulness when he can be here. I thank him for that. Anyway, back to this passage here, Jesus speaking. This is the parable, obviously, the parable of the 10 virgins. The five who brought the oil, the wise, they would be the ones compared to the saved. The saved today are prepared, they brought the oil. And five of them, verse number 2, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. The foolish, of course, on the other hand, would be the unsaved, those that have not put their faith in Christ. The bridegroom mentioned here is Jesus Christ, bridegroom coming back for the church being the bride. Says in verse number 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Notice when he came at midnight. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We know that Jesus Christ is coming. We know the bridegroom is coming. We don't know when. We don't know what time. So you better be ready for him. Christ came. Those that are ready got to go to the marriage. That's the picture of heaven. The marriage would be the picture of heaven. Those that were not ready were left behind. Verse number 11, afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. If you don't know him as your personal Savior, you better get it figured out and you better make it quick. These foolish here that we're not prepared, the bridegroom came, they were not prepared. There's not going to be a second chance. Your chance is now. Your chance to get saved is now. Your chance to prepare is now. Get your oil ready now. When the bridegroom cometh, it's going to be too late. Got to get settled today. I'll do it today before I left if I was you. I don't know when he's coming back. You don't either. He's going to come when we're not expecting it, the Bible says. You better be ready. But the part I want to focus today on, just one thought of this passage, that's the bridegroom. Many times in the scripture, you can look at Jesus Christ. He's pictured as the bridegroom over and over again. The church is the bride. We know that. The saved is the bride of Christ. He would be the bridegroom. If it's continually mentioned, obviously, it's pretty important. Maybe a reason he's called that. Obviously, it has to be a reason he's called that. Today, I want to look through the scriptures, many different passages, and compare a groom of today to the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, and see why he's called that. Why is he called it? Why is that so important? It's mentioned over and over and over again. It must be important. Let's look into that and see what the big deal is. Why is it important? So, Lord, so I can preach just a few minutes on, here comes the bridegroom. Jesus, in the scripture, over and over again, he's pictured both as a single person, single man looking for the bride, calling for the bride. Then also after salvation, he's pictured as the husband taking care of the bride, caring for the bride, watching out for the bride. So let's compare the two. I'm going to turn this fan on because it is a little warm up here. Everybody else a little warm too. Be a little less professional and take my wool coat off up here too. I think that'll be okay. It's the bridegroom. Everybody's breathing now again. Got oxygen again. Number one, the bridegroom, the groom of today, is not content with his father's house. A groom, if he's searching for a bride, obviously he's not content to continue living with his parents, continue living with the father. I had a good home growing up. When I was 17, I was working a full-time job as a mechanic. I finished up my senior high school. I was in community college and in Bible college and preaching in the nursing home. And despite all that, I was still not content with that. I wanted a bride. Amen. I had a full plate. And for whatever reason, I was not content in how busy I was. I decided I needed to be busier. So I wanted a bride. I desired a wife. Jesus Christ living in heaven from the beginning of time. He's been living in heaven from the beginning before time began. He was. He always has been. He always will be. Living in perfect harmony with God the Father. Perfect harmony with the Father. Yet despite how perfect it was, how perfect everything around him was, he thought it'd be best to make us sinners his bride. He says in Proverbs 8:31, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. His desires were with us lowly, no good sinners, perfect harmony with the Father, no trouble at all, no people to deal with at all. No, he don't have to deal with our sins, don't have to forgive our sins, nothing wrong at all. And he desired, his delights were with the sons of men. I have to be honest, before I moved out on my own, before and then I got married, my life was pretty simple. I thought it was complicated at the time. Most teenagers think their life is pretty complicated. I was working, making pretty good money for a teenager, eating my parents' food and living under their roof for free. I had it made, to be honest with you. Once I got married, I had a place of my own. Things got a lot more complicated. I had bills to pay and budgets to make and arguments to fight and all those things. Yet I've never regretted any part of being married. Never regret it. It's a lot harder than being single, living with your parents. I've never regretted it. Jesus Christ was living in heaven in perfection. Yet his delight was with me and you. He chose to make it a lot more complicated for himself. He chose to spend his time, chose to give his life for me and you. The bridegroom, pictured as a bridegroom, gave his life for the bride. He knows everything. He knew we wouldn't always be the faithful Christians we should be, faithful spouse that we should be. He knew we'd make mistakes. He knew he had to forgive us, yet he thought we were worth it. His delight was with the sons of men. The bridegroom delighted in giving his life for me and you. The groom there is not content with the father's house. Once more, wants a bride. A groom takes instruction. It may sound kind of strange. I'll get to that. A good son or soon-to-be son-in-law will seek the counsel of his father before asking somebody's hand in marriage. A good man will talk to the father of the bride before asking for a hand in marriage. That's the way it should be. It might sound kind of strange, but Jesus Christ is saying talk to the father before getting the bride. It says in Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Jesus Christ and God the Father counseled together about this marriage before it ever took place. Counseled together about me and you before it ever took place. It says in John 8:42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Jesus is willing to give up his throne, sacrifice his life, to give us the opportunity to be his bride. He's sent by God the Father. He's sent from God. He counseled together just like a groom today would. He counseled with the Father. What an undeserving bride we are. We don't deserve his love. He counseled with the Father. The Father sent him to me and you. The Father thought we were worth it. He sent us. A groom is not content with his father's house. A groom takes instruction, counsels. A groom sends messengers. This is done today as well as in the Jewish marriages. There will be a messenger sent before the bridegroom to prepare the way when the bridegroom is on his way, to get the bride aware, get the bride expecting the groom to come. I'm not going to try to dumb down the scriptures and compare it to today's time. But in the Jewish weddings, there would be a messenger. Often a servant is sent ahead to warn, to prepare the bride that the groom was on his way, to make the bride aware of the groom's intent. Abraham did this when he sent his servant to tell Rebekah about Isaac. I'm sure we'll get to that in the next couple weeks. Jesus Christ has his eyes fixed on us, lost and perishing, worthless sinners. He knew he loved us, and he sent messengers to prepare the way for himself. It says in 2 Chronicles 36:15. And Lord God of their father sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. He sent messengers, he sent prophets, he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for us sinners, prepare the way for the bride to be aware of his coming. Nowadays we have preachers who preach the truth and the word of God. Prepare the way, prepare your hearts to receive the bridegroom. I'm thankful for the messengers that Christ put in my life to prepare me to be part of the bride. I'm thankful for the preachers God put in my life to prepare my heart for the bride. I'm thankful for those that spent their time, spent their effort, spent their heart preparing me, those messengers sent from God to prepare me, prepare my heart for the bridegroom. I'm thankful for the messengers. A bridegroom will send a messenger. A bridegroom oftentimes makes the trip no matter the length. A groom, no matter the distance, will make the trip to meet his bride. He goes as far as he has to go, goes as often as he has to go. No matter the cost, he'll go as many times as he has to. I put 30,000 miles on my little truck the first few months I had it, going back and forth to Natalie's parents' house. It didn't matter the time, didn't matter the mileage, didn't matter the gas money. It's pretty stupid at the time, but anyway, it don't matter the distance or how many times I made the trip. No distance was too far. Jesus Christ traveled all the way from heaven to earth. No distance was too far. Went from a kingdom to a womb of a virgin, born in a stable. Didn't matter the distance, didn't matter. Where he had to go didn't matter. He cared about the bride. He cared about getting to the bride. The distance didn't matter. The budget didn't matter. He's going to get there. No matter the distance, no matter the obstacles, the groom takes time to be with the bride. He makes the trip. I'm glad the groom made the trip for me. A groom, a lot of times, he's honored when he comes. If it's a prince that is to be espoused, often he's met with great many people, royal people, to come and meet the bridegroom, and he comes to get the bride. Jesus Christ came, born in a stable, was not met by great authority in the land, was not met by King Herod. But yet the angels of heaven came down. It says, Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Angels from heaven came to meet the bridegroom. Let everybody know he was coming. They announced his coming. He was honored, just like a groom would be. A groom a lot of times has to convince his bride. Many times when a groom is looking for a bride, he may find somebody that's already interested in somebody else. It's their mission, then it becomes their mission to convince the bride that they are the right groom for them. Jesus Christ came to a bride who were already in love with sin. We live in sin. We live for sin. We do whatever sin tells us to do. We are born loving sin. We're in love with sin. Yet Jesus came and has tried and will continue to convict and pull at sinners' hearts to turn to him. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Luke 13:2. Jesus answered unto them, and suppose ye that the Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things. Jesus says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He takes the time to change the mind of the bride, convince the bride that he's the one they need. He takes the time. Jesus is trying to warn us of the dangers to come. He cares enough to take the time to convince the bride. He is the bridegroom, and he's worthy of our love. He's worth it. He doesn't force himself. He tells us the truth. He convicts us. He draws us in. He convinces us. I thank God Jesus loved me enough to convict me and draw me in. Even though I was in love with sin, even though I had another groom, if you want to call it that, another love, sin, I'm glad he took the time to convince me and change my mind. Groom should love unconditionally. A true man loves his bride, or the one he wants to be his bride, not only for the outward appearance, but for who she is. He loved who she is. The outward appearance, even if it were to change, wouldn't change the fact that he loved her. I'm glad God loved us because we're not worthy. I'm glad he didn't love us just because of how spiritually beautiful we are, because I can tell you, I'm not. I got hairs and moles and scars and wrinkles. Nothing to look at spiritually. Not beautiful. I'm glad he loved me anyway. He didn't come because I was worth it. He came because he loved me anyway. He doesn't love us because of what he sees in us. He loves us because of what he can make out of us. There's nothing about me and you that can make God want us. There's nothing we can do to earn his love. Ephesians 2, verse number 8. I know I'm getting a lot of scriptures today, but that's okay. He said, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's no amount of spiritual makeup you could put on to convince the groom that we're beautiful enough for him. I'm thankful Jesus chose to love me, and thankfully he chose to love me and come for me and die for me despite of me. I'm not worth it. He loves unconditionally. A groom will wait for the bride. He's patient. If a man loves a woman enough to want to marry her, His mind's not easily going to be changed. No amount of work, no amount of time going to change that. It says in Genesis 29:20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her. Jacob worked a total of 14 years until he got the bride he wanted, Rachel. And they were but a few days. It was worth it. It didn't matter. He was patient. He was going to wait for her no matter how long it took. He was going to work for her no matter how long it took. How much long-suffering and patience has Jesus Christ used on just me and you and in here today? How many times do we deserve to be thrown away or cast out, and yet he loves us anyway? He waited 40 years on Israel in the wilderness, waited 120 years for Noah to finish the ark so he can carry his family through. How much long-suffering has the groom used on you? How much has he used on us? How patient he is. It says in Isaiah 65:2, I've spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. We were rebellious sinners, wicked sinners. He waited for us. I'm thankful for a groom, thankful for a patient bridegroom willing to wait for me to change my mind. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful he didn't return before I got saved. Thankfully, he waited for me. He'll wait for the bride. Bridegroom will send gifts to the bride. A groom oftentimes will send gifts to the espoused wife, jewelry or perfume. Wives are expensive, young men. Espoused wives are even more expensive. Got to buy diamonds and things like that, so start saving. Isaac sent Rebekah earrings and bracelets of gold in Genesis 20:24. Men looking to get married oftentimes forget all about the budget and actually the checking account. They'll spend whatever it takes to get their bride to want them. How many times has Jesus sent you something special just to remind you of his love for you? Took the time to do something special for you. Little tokens here and there, gracious acts we don't deserve. Over and over and over again, how many times has the groom sent something special to me and you? Those times there are no other explanation other than that was of God. Thank God for those times. He blesses you things we don't deserve. It says Proverbs 1:9, they should be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Ornaments of grace, jewelry of grace. Author Benjamin Keats said, grace is like a box of precious ointment whose odoriferous smells perfumes the heart and life of believers. I thank for those gifts of grace, the things I didn't deserve, the things he gave me anyway, those acts of grace when I deserve to be in hell. I'm thankful for those acts of mercy and acts of grace. Thankful for the gifts. A groom won't share his bride. If he's got any mind about it, he won't share his bride anyway. It's just not going to happen. Jesus is the same way, not share us. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, then thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Can't share Jesus, expect to get away with it. I preached on that many times before. You got to make up your mind who you're serving. Make up your mind who your groom is, who the bridegroom is. He's not going to share you. The marriage oftentimes is celebrated. One of the most celebrated days in our culture is the wedding day. The two come together, they become one. They have the rehearsal dinner, they celebrate that night. Next day they have the wedding, they celebrate then too. A week later they come back and they celebrate again, over and over again. Wedding shower, celebrate again. It's a celebrated event. When a lost soul finally gives in and comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, it's a celebration in heaven. It says in Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is a joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that repenteth. I'm thankful for the celebration in heaven when one sinner becomes part of the bride. I'm thankful for that time. I'm thankful for the celebration. I'm thankful God cares enough. I'm thankful for the groom cares enough to celebrate over a bride like me, a bride like the church. He sympathizes with the bride. A groom does. When a man and woman are married, they become one. Their wealth or their debt become one. Their health or their sickness, they become one. Whatever battle the bride is going through, now the groom is going through it with her. Whatever burden the bride carries, now the groom's carrying it as well. I'm thankful that after we're saved, after joining with the bride of Christ, he helps carry my burdens. Oftentimes carries me through the burden. It says in Isaiah 63:9, all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angels of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. I'm so thankful for the bridegroom that cares enough to carry the burdens of the bride. I thank for them. We're joined with him. We'll carry the burdens with him. Thank for those times when I couldn't carry them myself. He carried me. I'm thankful for the groom. Lastly, he does all these other things. The groom comes back for the bride. In Jewish culture, the bridegroom is spoused to a woman, but he does not immediately take her home. There's a different situation there. But there's a time of espousal when the bride is still at her home. She's espoused to a man. She still lives at home with her parents. He goes back to his home, prepares a home for the bride. That's the situation you find Joseph and Mary when Mary was with child, his espoused wife. They had been espoused, the ceremony's taking place. They're not yet come together, still living separately. I'm so thankful I get to be part of the bride of Christ. I'm thankful that he loves me and cares for me and gives me gifts. And I'm thankful that he is selfish with me, not letting me get into sin. I'm thankful for glad the union was celebrated. I'm glad for all those things. More than any of that, I'm looking forward to the day when the groom comes back to get the bride. Looking for the day when the bridegroom come back to get us. There's coming a day, church, when the bridegroom is coming back. Y'all ain't listening to me today. There's coming a day. We're going to leave this world if you're saved. The bridegroom is coming back to get the bride. I'm thankful for that day. I'm thankful there's going to be an end to this wicked world we're living. Things are going to be an end to that. I'm thankful for the time. I'm thankful there is going to be a day when he is coming back. Looking forward to the day when the bridegroom comes back. What a day that will be. There's a better day coming. We have something. We have a home to look forward to. I don't know about you, there's some over there I want to see again. More than anything, I want to see him. Looking forward to the day when the bridegroom comes back to get us. All we've been working for, all we've been worshiping for these, however long you've been worshiping him, there's a coming a day you get to meet him face to face. If you don't know the bridegroom today, if you don't know him, I sure would like to introduce you to him. He'll love you, he'll make you his own. Don't be unprepared. Those foolish ones I mentioned earlier, don't be unprepared. He is coming back. The bridegroom is coming back. You make sure you're prepared before he gets here. You're not going to have another chance. And you can play something for us. You can bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. I don't know your situation this morning. I don't know if there's any lost here or not. You've never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. You better get it settled before it's too late. You're not going to get a second chance once he comes back. Now is your chance. You better take it. If you're here this morning and say, well, preacher, I don't know the bridegroom. I don't know that peace you're talking about. I don't know all those gifts you're talking about him giving you. I've never experienced that before. I don't know what you're talking about. Sure, I'd be glad to introduce him to you this morning. Thankful for a bridegroom that loved us, no matter how unlovable we were. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve him. You can't do anything to deserve him. You can't be good enough. It's a gift. I'm thanking for it. Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord, you've given us. I thank you for his people here. I thank you for his church. Lord, I pray you help a simple thought this morning. I pray you help somebody, encourage somebody here. Lord, I pray. Is there any lost? Lord, I pray you get saved for it's too late. Thank you for all you've given us in Jesus' name. Amen. Dismissed.